Hello and welcome to episode 189 of the Enough Podcast. My name is Mike Hurley and I'm joined as always by my co-host and your friend, Mr. Patrick Roan. Hello, sir.
I am your friend. I am everyone's friend.
Recently,
I've been
really enjoying saying the episode numbers for this show. Because it's really? So many now. 189. I like it. Anyway, so yes, I just destroyed your introduction, but we have...
No, we're going to have to come up with something like once again, need suggestions for something for 200, because I don't know. We should do something,
it's,
right?
It's like right around the corner. 200 is 11 episodes away now, so it's terrifying.
I passed 100,000 followers on Tumblr for Minimal Mac, so...
You did. Congratulations. I was going to bring that up today.
It's crazy. Enough of me. I could care less about me. What I do care about is we have, I was just discussing, probably one of my longest internet friends, quotation marks, like one of the earliest people I kind of follow and interacted with on Twitter. And is just a fantastic guy all around. Unbelievably talented too. Great musician. Pat Driber is with us today. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
Great.
Oh, dude. So great and so awesome to have you on. I can't tell you how much it means to me and how overdue I now realize it is that we've never had you on before.
Yeah, it only took, 187,491 episodes to get me here?
Something like that.
We ran out of other guests.
Right.
Oh, man. Don't
literally, the English-speaking world has, you guys have covered it all.
And other languages.
All that's left is me.
We've covered Italian, too, but... So Pat, why don't you tell our listeners what you like to be known for? How can people know you on the internet?
Oh boy, wow, it's an interesting question. Only because as of late, I've had a weird relationship with the internet, in that I keep deleting profiles and re-adding profiles and starting blogs and ending blogs and all these sorts of things, but. Probably just patdriber.com is sort of, so I'm a designer by trade. Started doing websites back, 4 or 5 years ago. Lately I've been doing more mobile stuff, iOS, and otherwise. That I would say people might know me for, and I do a bunch of other stupid videos and
I was going to say I'm putting
dancing around in tank tops.
Yep. I've put a link to your Vimeo page in the show notes for this episode, because I would probably say maybe most of our listeners would know you from the John Siracusa review warm-up videos.
That would probably – yeah, that's definitely the biggest, in terms of page views and awareness, that's definitely the biggest – those videos are definitely the biggest thing I've ever done. It's funny too, because I actually, for the last one, had John Siracusa in the video. We were in San Francisco for WWDC, and he was there. And I was able to convince him, after some prodding and some persuasion, to convince him to actually be in the video. So that was awesome. That was really
By
cool.
By prodding and persuasion, you mean mini drinks?
Yeah. No, everything was just over email. He was a really awesome guy. He's a busy guy, so he could only stay for a little bit of the shoot, but we got him in and he was a really good sport. He's not the type of guy that likes being in the center of attention kind of thing. So he was a really great sport to do that.
Yeah. Not my favorite of the videos that you've ever done though. My favorite of your video is your somersault video. was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Excellent work.
It's easily one of the worst somersaults ever performed.
And the bend, therefore the best.
Yes.
But we spoke about you on the show a couple of weeks ago, and that's why, primarily why we wanted to get you here today, is you've just launched a podcast of your own called 100 Down.
Yeah.
In which you are chronicling, if that's a word. I don't know if it is
yep,
one.
Yep.
So a weight loss goal that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. So Patrick mentioned on that show, which I've printed out the transcript of and hung on my refrigerator. he mentioned that he had seen a photo, and we discussed it before the show, where I looked, quote, svelte. After describing the photo, I still have no idea what photo he's talking about. But
That's because you had to look up svelte, right?
Right.
It was not a term you were familiar with. And,
exactly.
And therefore, after consulting Webster's English Dictionary, you realized it's the sort of term you should put up on your refrigerator.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure. And so, I take everything everyone says about me as a compliment. I just, you know, even if they say bad things, I'm just like, oh, that's nice. But anyway, but lately, as of late, I have not been so svelte. I have been, svelte plus. And so, I wanted to do something about that. About a year ago, a friend of mine started on what's called the paleo diet. And
it's popular with a lot of kids these days.
Very popular. It's basically, for those who don't know, you don't eat gluten or, you know, wheat. You avoid dairy, and you avoid legumes and so beans and potatoes and things like that. Basically, you stick with meat, veggies, fruit, and nuts. And so I've
I like to call the steak and eggs diet.
Pretty much, yeah. So my friend Ed had started on the diet about a year ago, and he's lost somewhere in the neighborhood of, well, just shy of 50 pounds, basically. That was really cool, and I had wanted to do it, and he had been encouraging me, but I always had excuses for it. Back last November, I was actually at a friend's wedding, which I was a groomsman in, and I ran into this guy that I recognized but couldn't quite place who he was. And it wasn't until about 8 hours later when the groom actually called that person by name and said, "Hey, Bill," that I realized, oh, this is a guy who a year and a half – the last time I'd seen him was a year and a half before. And his name is Bill Dees, and he weighed something in the neighborhood of 320 pounds. And over a course of about a year and a few months, he managed to lose 140 pounds just doing this paleo diet and a little bit of exercise. And so between Ed's story and Bill's story, I realized, you know, if these two guys can do it, maybe I can do it. And so, but I knew I couldn't do it alone. And so I asked both of them if they would sort of help out and coach me along. And that turned into the idea of doing the podcast. And so the podcast is really for me. It's really, primarily for me and my accountability and my, you know, gaining knowledge and getting tips and whatnot. Secondarily, it's for them. It's for them to share any of the struggles that they have or any questions that they might have of you know, any of us. And then the tertiary and surprising result has been, you know, that other people are actually listening and enjoying and getting something out of it. So
it's been fun show. I mean, I caught up today. I've listened awesome. To episode 4 today. I've been picking awesome. Them up. So. And it's as entertaining as I would imagine anything that you would create would be, sir, because you are an entertaining gentleman.
It's funny because it's really hard to make. It's hard to make, like, what's essentially an all-guy Weight Watchers meeting. you know? I mean, that's what it is. It's an all-guys Weight Watchers meeting. And it
curves.
But it is fun. You know, we talk about... We talk about some things that actually have impact on your life in terms of just your attitude. We talk about coming to terms with, you know, when you don't reach a goal or things don't turn out the way you want. And some of these things have applications in other areas of life, obviously. But yeah, then we try to have fun. We try to, you know, make jokes and yeah. I mean, I start every podcast by saying, "Hey, I'm Pat and I'm fat," so it can't be too serious.
Yeah, that does always put a smile on my face. It's a great intro.
I don't think it's quite Weight Watchers protocol to start that way.
No, it's probably against their positive thinking.
And speaking of which, I mean, let's be honest and real here. This is not a topic that is regularly discussed by a lot of men. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, the kind of Weight Watchers image or curves or any of these other kind of programs are primarily, you know, kind of female pushed and female based, right? You know, for that sure. There's, you know, certainly, you know, that speaks a lot to our culture about the female body image and our culture and how, and the pressure on females to be thin and look good in a bikini and all this other stuff, right? And there's a lot to unpack there, no question about it. But there's also a lot to unpack about why aren't more men talking about this? Why aren't more men engaged in, you know, why aren't there Weight Watchers style programs that are actually primarily focused on men versus primarily focused on women, especially sure. since I would argue that there is actually a greater obesity issue amongst males than females, but I have no data to back that up. But yeah. You know what I mean? It's just not something that guys talk about. And so it's kind of interesting that you are.
Yeah. And even in, it's good you brought that up, because even in media, I mean, I've never seen a podcast or a program, you know, that's focused on, you know, the fat guy losing weight. You know, there's mm-hmm. lots about, you know, women losing weight. And there's lots about, you know, men's health and other publications and whatnot that are focused on, you know, sort of weight training and, you mm-hmm. know, you've got like, you know, 3 pounds to lose and before you get your six pack kind of thing. And there's lots of that out there, but there's very little in the way of, you know, males struggling with obesity mm-hmm. and how to deal with all that. And so, you know, part of the reason we did the podcast was because I really didn't feel like there was anything out there. And anything that is out there is very much a prescription. You know, it's a couple skinny guys in a room who have, you know, been skinny their whole life and worked and went to college and became trainers and nutritionists and whatnot. And they know mm-hmm. all the answers and they know all the facts and the data and all these things. But it's very much, you know, they're coming in and prescribing solutions. Whereas what we want to do is a much more, you know, we're figuring this out as we go. And yeah. some things we won't yeah. figure out, you know, and that's fine. Like I said, on an episode, I don't remember if it was episode 3 or 4, but I really don't care why this works, why, like, what my body is taking out of the food and the, you know, like what vitamins it's getting. And all I care is that it is working, you know, and my why I'm doing it is, I want to be healthier, and I see two of my very good friends who have done it and are healthier. And so, you know, using logical extrapolation from that point, just decided it was for me. So,
I think one of my favorite things about the show, and you mentioned it kind of briefly a second ago, is that you talk about the things that don't go well. Like you were saying about how you ate 2 gluten-free pizzas in a weekend, and you just sort of like admitted that on the show, and you know, and that you were saying that also that, you know, that you hadn't started exercising by the point that you wanted to start. And it was just interesting that you're so open in the parts that aren't going well, because even when I'm listening to them, I can feel that, you know, there's a part of you that's like, I really don't want to have to admit that I've done something wrong here, but right. you're doing it. And I just think that is quite admirable, really. And it's interesting to hear that, because I don't think, even on a show, you know, where people are talking about this stuff, I don't necessarily know if they would go to that point.
A big part of that's just the fact that I'm doing it with friends, right? Like 2 guys that I've known for a number of years, one of whom, especially Ed, through the films and stuff that we've done, have just grown to be really, really close friends. And whether you're doing a podcast or not, I really feel like you need something like that when you're trying to, change something in your life. I know, back late last year when, you know, and it happens every year when people are talking about resolutions and New Year's resolutions and how they always fail and everything like that. There was the discussion about, you know, the difference between, you know, saying you're going to do something and then building up the system to allow yourself to do that thing. And so that's what I feel like I've been trying to do with this is, you know, with my two friends, I've got a system where we talk once a week for half an hour or so, and it's working. I mean, it really is working. And that in itself is encouraging, because then I, you know, on a day where I'm struggling, I just go, okay, all I have to do is stick to this, and, you know, don't worry about tomorrow and the week after and what the next few months brings. Just worry about this one meal even, and making sure I get it right. Because if I get it right, then I don't have to worry about it anymore, and I can worry about the next thing that's on my plate, literally and figuratively.
Hmm. So how much so far? Where are you at?
Okay, so we haven't. We actually had to postpone. We usually record Monday nights, and so you are going to get the check-in ahead of my own podcast. So please,
terrific.
Feel so honored. No,
I know.
So today I checked in at 20. Let me pull it up here. I weighed in at 260.3. which is about 5 pounds less than what I weighed in. I weighed at 265.9. It's about 5.6 pounds in the last week that I've lost.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's great.
I'm feeling really good. So that's a grand total of 28.7 pounds lost since February, or since January 2nd.
Wow, that's terrific.
Yeah.
That is really great.
Thank you.
And so far, that is mostly just through diet. You started your kind of exercise late.
Going on that whole honesty thing, still haven't started exercising.
There you go.
And it is some, you know, we're going to be talking about that this week when we record. But that's something I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I want to do. We did actually, as a company, the company I work for, we went to laser tag on Wednesday, and that was a blast. And I kind of wish I could just do laser tag for exercise every day.
I mean, as someone who is training for a major physical event, and so therefore am.
You're doing the Go Ruck Challenge, is that right?
The Go Ruck Challenge, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm working out literally every other day, and following a really great strength training book that I think I mentioned that on last week's podcast or the week before.
Definitely,
Michael,
so.
I can't remember. It's called Starting Strength. Training. Let me see if I can provide the Mark Ripto book, Starting Strength. And it's basically no brainer. Here's the science behind it. Sort of strength training with barbells.
Oh, cool.
And it is basically a bone simple recipe, which is, you know, start off with, you're going to be doing squats, bench presses, and deadlifts. Here they are. Here's how to do them properly. Here's the reason why you want to do these things for just plain core power and strength, and endurance. And here's how it works. For every one of these, you start with a weight that is comfortable to you to do 5 repetitions at that weight. And then you increase it by 5 pounds until you basically break. so you get to a point where you cannot do 5 reps at whatever weight you've put on. Mm-hmm. And when you reach that point, that's it. You're done. You're done with that for the day. And the next day, you come back, you start out at a slightly higher, like, beginning weight.
Right.
And work your way up from there. And what you find is, and, you know, kind of what goes against traditional weight training sort of thinking is that You know, usually it's like, oh, your muscles need time to recover and repair and, you know, this, that, and the other. And they're like, yeah, if you want to build like definition and things like that, if you want to, you know, kind of look like a muscle guy, then that might be the way to go. But that's, you're not going to build strength that way. Right. The only way to build strength is you need your muscles to be broken slightly to begin. You don't want to let them repair too much. Mm-hmm. You want to break them again. Because you want to keep them in this constant building mode. You don't want them to build and then you have to come and break it again to build and be done building and break it again. No, you want to constantly have them broken. And that's, and so it's been dead simple. And I tell you, I've gone from, I think when I started, I was benching. Now let me just, I'm just going to go with the squats, just the squats. When I started, I was doing about 120 pounds max with the squat, with the deep squat. Before I left, because I took the week off in Disney, which was a mistake because I'll have to start back again. But it's just serious. There was just no time. And they didn't have the right facilities there for me anyway. But I was at 190.
Wow. That's a huge gain.
Yeah. And that was only after like a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Like 2-3 weeks. Yeah.
It's actually really surprising how quickly that comes. I remember the last time I did it, I did any weight training. You notice it very early and quickly. And the trick though is that when it starts, when you go from, you know, 190 to 210, That's the tricky part, right? You've got the 120 to 150 to 170 to 190. Anyone can do that. But getting from 190 to 210, that's going to be whatever the number is. The last 10% or whatever takes up 80% of your energy or whatever it is.
Well, and actually the goal with starting strength is for squats is that you should be able to do 1.5 times your body weight.
Oh, wow.
Which for me is going to be about 300 pounds.
Nice.
So in any case, I digress. The bottom line of all of that was to say that what I have found is, and the reason I like this program versus any others I have done before for any previous training things, and this is the same thing with the running program I've been doing, just keeping it as simple as possible. Math you can do in your head and, you know, things you don't even have to necessarily think about. And if I have any tips for you as far as exercise, start with just getting out and walking.
Yeah.
And don't worry about walking how far. And I mean, and this is true of running too, right? One of the things that I may have discussed before here, but you know, one of the interesting things about the, you know, a lot of these kind of programs like Couch to 5K or things like that is they have you start with walking.
Yeah.
Because
just
most
get
people
up and go.
Just get up and just walk and see how far you can walk. And then the next day, walk a little further, right? Yeah.
If you're wondering how long to walk for, just pipe in an episode of the Enough podcast. There's lots of them.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
They're about the perfect length to go for a walk.
They really are. No, seriously, you just get out there and you walk for as long as, you know, for as long as you feel comfortable. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize how beneficial just simply that is. Adding some extra walking. Another thing that has helped me is how beneficial, for instance, you go to the store and you're at the big box store in the big parking lot. Don't park close to the door. Park towards the other end of the parking lot. Park further away.
Park where the nice cars are.
Yes, park where the nice cars are and where you don't have to fight for a space.
Exactly.
And, hey, you're getting some extra steps in your day. You're getting some extra exercise. If you have to go, you know, you have to go somewhere and you've got an elevator and you've only got to go up 2-3 flights, well, why not just take the stairs? Mm-hmm. You know, and that one is often surprised at how simple little things like that can add extra exercise into their day and have a huge benefit.
Mm-hmm. And it takes no real
extra energy, maybe a little bit of extra time. And, but you know, you're talking maybe 1 minute versus two,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the things I've recently gotten into is, not only parking further away, but instead of walking, running. So I'll, you know, so this, it doesn't necessarily take any extra time because instead right. of walking to the door, I'm now running from twice as far away.
The trick, though, is that when you're going back to your car, to not look as though you've just taken something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Make sure you get past the security.
Exactly. Yeah, but otherwise, yeah. Yeah. No, that's probably a good exercise for me would be to sort of think about my day, just in, you know, my day to day, and try and pick out those spots where I can be doing a little bit. You know, I think, you know, I live on the sixth floor of an apartment building and I take an elevator up every day, and I don't think I necessarily want to take up, you know, six floors worth of stairs every single day and every single time I come up. But doing it once a day, you know, whether maybe it's, you know, when I come home from work, that's the only time I have to walk up the stairs, or something that's a little bit more, you know, something that's regular, but, you know, so, taking a look
even
at my
walking
day.
Down them.
Yeah.
Cause that's, I mean, you're adding steps that you otherwise wouldn't have taken, and that's sure. going to, you know. And so, have you found that, I think one of the nice things, and I think one of the, kind of appeals of the paleo diet is in its simplicity.
Absolutely.
Right? You're not having to count carbs. You're not having to, you know, this is not Atkins where you're having to, you know, look at the sides of every package and try to figure out whether or not you've hit your target carbs for the day and things like that. You know, this is just simply, look, you know, here's the things to eat. You've got nuts, you've got fruit, you've got vegetables, you got meat. Make sure most of it is as raw or uncooked as possible. Go.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly why I chose paleo. I in the past I had tried using apps like Lose It or otherwise trying to track every meal that I had. I kept food journals written and electronic. You know, and the reading packages and weighing food and all these things just was too much, you know, meta work
mm-hmm.
to achieve what should be simple, you know? And so the definitely a big appeal of the paleo diet for me was just eat this way and boom, you're done. You know, mm-hmm. it's just kind of this, it's a very, I don't have to add anything to my life. I'm simply changing what I eat. I'm still eating the same number of meals a day. I'm still, you know, having the occasional snack. But like instead of having, you know, a bag of chips at 10 o'clock at night, I'm having a bowl of frozen fruit or something simple like that, you know, and that, you know, added up throughout the day really, really does add up. And like I said, you know, I've lost close to 30 pounds in just over a month and about a month and a half now. So
yeah, which is just, like I said, that's really fantastic.
Crazy. Thank you.
So your podcast is going to be over in just about maybe 2-3 months, right?
Yeah, to answer your question, on the show, the plan is to end the podcast once I've reached my goal. I really wanted the show to be timeless in what we discussed in terms of, you know, we don't bring up like news articles or anything like that. We're not talking about the day-to-day news of the, you know, the time that we're in. We're very much just sharing our story as it goes, and hopefully with the hope that, you know, a year or two down the line, someone can see this episode or this podcast with, you know, 48 or 50 episodes spanning a year or so, and know that the person who made this podcast started and finished their goal within those 48 or 50 episodes. You know, there's something, there's something really encouraging about the idea that this is actually only going to take 50 weeks. You know, when you put it in that perspective, it's very empowering, because suddenly it's like, that's a manageable, you know, timeline for most people to think, you know, in a year, I'm going to reach this goal. And to have sort of this archive of someone who has done it, hopefully will inspire others to do the same. And then obviously the goal, you know, people listening along as we're doing it, you know, hopefully that they're tracking along as well. And whatever their goal is, whether it's weight loss or whether it's strength training or whether it's something totally unrelated, maybe it's a work thing or otherwise, and just feeling empowered. Okay, this is all you have to do is do it, you know, and that's sort of what I struggled so hard to fight with. I was always looking for the diet that, you know, like I took a pill and poof, there's 40 pounds gone, and or there's this magic solution, and it's not. It's just do it, and it's done.
Yeah,
I think there's something really powerful about that.
Yeah, and I think just simply making it as simple as possible for you to remember. Yeah, basically, what the rules are, how to follow it.
Even one for
me that I have tried to do and it stuck with me. And this was actually a friend of mine who gave me this tip and suggestion. I thank him and love him for it almost every day. And that is, here's a simple one: with any plate of food, make sure that it's 2/3 vegetables.
When
you think about that. Yeah. Okay. Great. You take this round thing and you divide it up in a third. You know, you kind of make a pie out of it, and you know, meat goes here, protein goes here, or whatever, and then you know, vegetable, fruit, or vegetable, fruit, or fruit, vegetable, or whatever. But make sure, that 2/3 of that plate is filled with, you know, one of those two things.
Yep.
And it's just a simple rule that every time I fill a plate of food, I think about that.
Yep.
I think about that simple little rule, and it plays like a little mantra in my head. and even, you know, and I think that's kind of, you know, if I have any message to get across and any takeaway from what you're doing, it's that. It's kind of keeping this stuff as simple as possible.
For sure.
And easy to follow.
Our lives are complicated enough, right? I mean.
Yeah, no kidding. That said, I know you're not like, you know, pushing any magic bullet solutions or anything like that, but are there any like resources that you've come to rely on, books, websites, that sort of thing, when it comes to all of this paleo weight loss stuff?
Pretty much the only real resource that I've relied on. Well, there's a couple, I guess. One is the biggest one is, you know, what those of us, you know, it's sort of the modern Bible for the paleo diet, which is Rob Wolf's The Paleo Solution.
We've mentioned it before.
And what's actually great about the book that really worked for me and maybe for others who, you know, worry about the idea of having to go through a whole book. I read about maybe 50% of the book. There's, you know, sort of the intro that describes what it is he's setting up and talking about. And then there's a giant section where he talks about a lot of the science that goes behind the paleo stuff. But you don't necessarily have to know the science for it to work for you. And so, and he says that right out in the book. He says, there's, you know, if you want to skip on to the how to do it section, here's the page number or what have you. And that's what I did. I just jumped right to the, how do I do this? I get that it's going to work. I have two friends for whom it worked perfectly. I don't need to know that, you know, this chemical reacting with this food is causing this reaction. None of that really interests me. Maybe in the future, you know, when I have a little bit more time, whenever that happens to be, I can spend some time digging in. But really all I cared about was that it did work. And so, the Paleo Solution is a great resource. You can get in and get out really quickly and have a fairly solid idea of what you should do. And if you are one of the people who needs to know why, all those answers are in there. The other thing is actually a website that my friends Bill and Ed both run. It's just a Tumblr blog. It's called SoGoodPaleo.com. It's just really simple but easy, but delicious recipes for paleo meals. Some of them are quote unquote paleo-ish because they have a couple cheat items like dairy or something. But that's where I found the bacon wrapped feta cheese filled jalapeno stuffers that I made for the Super Bowl party I went to a couple weeks back. There's the fact that I can eat bacon really makes this diet one of the
flourless mocha bacon brownies.
Holy
cow.
And there's another recipe in there for look up one for, I think it was pulled pork or a roast or something he did where he made this homemade sauce. And it was back when I still lived in Ontario, and he actually brought the sauce with some pulled pork in just a little dish. And it was hands down the best pulled pork I've ever had in my entire life. So check it out because, it's great. Again, it's by guys who don't like live this stuff. You know, it's just guys who happen to do it. And, you know,
bacon, chocolate, apple slices. I'm sorry. I really am trying to pay attention to what you're saying.
No, it's okay.
At this, I'm like, holy cow.
I'm assuming literally ever since I listed the website, ever since I mentioned the website, I'm assuming no one's listening.
No one's listening.
Except for Mike. Anymore. Mike's still there, I think.
Yeah, I'm still listening.
We can go back to talking about the boudoir photography. so enchilada chicken stew. Oh my gosh, this stuff looks so great. I mean, because here's the thing, right? And that is that, if it's up to me, if I were to do the whole paleo thing, it'd be like, okay, I'm just going to cook some bacon and have some avocados. I'm going to just eat that for every single meal, a handful of pistachios, and I'm done. But like, you know, finding good inventive recipes is I think key to, you know, keeping it interesting.
Especially when you have a family, kids is hard. I mean, I don't have any kids, obviously, but I know from friends. Yeah, exactly. You know, your kid probably knows what she likes. She doesn't want to be, you know, she wouldn't probably get bored if she just stuck.
Well, speaking about all this like diet stuff. Okay. So Beatrix, my kid, she's like a bird. I mean, she really does. She's one of these kids that like eats little bits of everything all day long. And to get her to sit down and like have one big meal or eat a lot is really difficult. Even for dinner, she'll have like maybe three bites. We'll force her to have two more and then she'll ask to be excused. Right. When we were in Florida for Disney World, a friend down there introduced us to, I guess they are a chain. They have them all in many states around the country, but they don't have them in this one. And after one visit there, I seriously was talking with Bethany about the possibility of opening a franchise here. I mean, like we were having a very serious conversation about it. Like what would it cost? How much would it take? You know, that sort of thing. You know, is this something we would want to get into? You know, is it something we could finance and have someone else run? That sort of thing. It's called Sweet Tomatoes. If you do a Google search for it, you can find it and find one in your area. But basically, it's a salad bar buffet.
Oh, wow.
But like it's this huge salad bar with lots of pre-made salads, some pasta salads, but also, you know, this big bar of make your own items, as well as they've got like frozen yogurt and they have soups, like seven or eight different types of soups. All of them are great. All the fixings, everything that you can imagine a kind of salad and soup buffet bar would be, it is this. And Beatrix loved it. Oh, absolutely loved it. because she could take her plate, took her plate in her tray and just kind of picked a little bit of corn and put it on her plate, and a little bit of olives and put it on her plate, and a little bit of carrots, shredded carrots, and put it on her. And right. And it allowed her to eat the way that she was comfortable eating, while at the same time, I've never seen her have a full meal of such healthy stuff in my life.
Wow.
And it gave us this tremendous idea, which was, well, heck, we could do that at home.
Right.
And that's what we did. Sounds. So for her lunch today, I basically put a whole bunch of little tiny containers in there of, like, you know, a little container of shredded carrots and a little container of shredded corn and or you know, corn kernels, another one of olives and another one of apples and another one of strawberries, and boom, done, happy, you know. And so I think that oftentimes, especially when it comes to kids, we have to be conscious of the way that they eat and the way that they prefer to eat, and giving them enough control over what they're eating while at the same time, and how they're eating it, and while at the same time introducing healthy things into that, mm-hmm. but introducing it in a way that they kind of glom onto and get behind.
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect.
That is natural for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, seeing great recipes that you can make that everyone in the family is going to enjoy, while not being like, oh, you're trying to stuff this paleo thing down my throat. While it's good for you, I want a baked potato, you know? Yep. It's like, you know, okay, well, fine. Make your baked potato, but, you know, here's the bacon-wrapped portobello mushrooms on the side, you know?
Exactly.
I want to take a quick break.
Yeah.
Talk about our sponsor.
Oh, wow.
And then I've got a couple other things that I want to talk with Pat about before we let him go today.
Yeah, sounds great.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Do you know how long?
Because I know we've already taken up so much of people's time, so this might have to be a two-parter.
No, we'll put out in one. This is 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
We can put out in one. People get an extended episode for once.
Oh, there you go.
It'll be a good walk for someone.
Exactly. Yeah. They keep trying to go home, but we won't let
them. Put on the headphones, take the stairs. There you go. All right.
So our sponsor for this week is, of course, those fine folks over at squarespace.com who give you everything you need to make an amazing website. Squarespace provides you a fully hosted, completely managed environment for creating and maintaining a beautiful website, blog, or portfolio. It doesn't matter what you want to put online, Squarespace gives you all the tools that you need. If you want to build a business site, you can do that. If you want to build a podcast, like Mr. Dryburr did, you can use Squarespace to do it. Squarespace will even host the files for you too and give you an RSS feed that you can submit to iTunes and let people download from. It's something that we don't talk about enough, but they do give you everything that you would need, no matter what it is that you want to build. They have beautiful templates. They have drag and drop design with their layout engine system, which allows you to add blocks of content, and you can just move them around to make your site look how you want it to. They have some great design tools. They have beautiful font options as well. They've recently integrated with Typekit, and they offer a selection of free Typekit fonts for you. They have iOS and Android apps that you manage and post on the go. You can also see your built-in statistics on the app too. They have award-winning 24/7 customer support if you need any help or if you've got any problems when you're setting up the site, and they're always there to help you. There's no credit card required to go try out Squarespace. They also have a blog importer, so if you want to bring in your previous site from them, even if you want to just go and try it out, do that by going to squarespace.com/70decibels, and that helps support the show too. Squarespace starts at $10 a month for their standard plan and $20 a month for their limited plan. If you sign up for a year, you'll get 20% off, and if you sign up for 2 years, you'll get 25% off. But use the code 70decibels2 at checkout, and you'll get an additional 10% off your first purchase. So go check out Squarespace, everything you need to make an amazing website.
I like Squarespace.
They're good, aren't they? Good people.
I'll say this. I've used a lot of content management systems in my day, and it is easily the most beautiful one. It's simple. It's clear what you're doing. There's a few things I would have done differently just because I'm a designer and have my own opinions, but it's really, really great. Like you said, I've been using it for the 100 Down podcast, and it's been great. I don't have to worry about FTP hosting, any of that crap. I just post it and go.
Well, and I think it's a really interesting and a great testament that, I mean, you're a geek. Mm-hmm. You're a designer who can and has easily do this by hand from the ground up.
And yet had started.
And had started, yet decided to go with Squarespace.
Yeah.
You know, and that says a lot about Squarespace and their offering. And that even for the most hardcore, you know, kind of geek designer who could do this stuff by hand, who could build a beautiful and amazing website on their own, why go through the trouble and the hassle when you can put something together in, you know, literally a few minutes, if that's all you want to take, that will do the job and do it very well.
If I wasn't so fiddly, it would have taken about, I think, 5 minutes to set up and get the first podcast out. I think because I'm so fiddly, it took about 12 minutes. So you know, it is really good. Anyway, Squarespace.
Thank you, Squarespace, and thank you, Pat, for adding your recommendation. So before we let you go today, this week you are doing something very interesting. You have taken over the Brooks Review.
I broke in. I walled up the window, or I boarded up the windows, blocked off the doors. There's no way he's getting back in until the end of the week.
You have taken down the paywall. Take down this wall.
That's something I just can't. I don't even know how I would begin to do that. But it was actually funny this morning, and I might still do it. I was thinking about doing a predictions for next week. Because for those who don't know, Ben Brooks, who runs BrooksReview.net, has a membership sign up where if you sign up as a member, you get all of the articles as they're posted, you know, quote unquote, real time in your RSS reader. But if you don't have a membership, then you still get all the same articles, but you get them a week later. And so my idea was to sort of say, you know, do a kind of quasi predictions post where, you know, I post it today on Tuesday, the 15th, 12th. What are we on? 12th. Whatever day it is, and then for the next week, and then people who are reading that week will have experienced that day and been like, that didn't happen, or that did happen. You know,
I think that's a great
aliens idea. Did arrive. You're right, Pat. So yeah, Ben just kind of he's just kind of been tired and just kind of, you know.
He needed a break.
He needed a break. And so he asked me just over IM one day, hey, would you ever be interested in guest editing the site? And I said, of course. Why wouldn't I? I mean, what better opportunity to spread my own brand of craziness than to his readership? So, so I started posting yesterday and I've only posted one thing today, but and it was about email and how you shouldn't worry about email. It's just stupid. Patrick, if you were a paying member, you would have already read the article.
Am a paying. Actually, Michael chided me about this beforehand. I just haven't let him know yet. I've been traveling myself, dude. I'm busy. But for whatever reason, the member feed just kind of breaks for me all of a sudden for no good reason. It just will stop. And I don't know whose problem it is. I don't know if it's – and this is part of the reason why I haven't said anything is because – so I used to do software QA.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I know from doing software QA is that it is useless to bring a problem to a developer or anyone else without having first done all that you can to tell them the steps to reproduce the problem.
Right.
Because if it can't be reproduced, it just can't be fixed. It really is that plain and simple, right? Yep. And so, since I don't know the steps to reproduce the problem, and since there's so many possible, it could be something with the feed.
Yeah.
It could be Google Reader, who's kind of the intermediary between Reader, the app, and the feed.
Yep.
So that means three possible entities could be at fault. So how do you report the problem? Where do you report the problem to? Or do you do what I've been doing, which is every couple of weeks dawn on me, I haven't seen anything from Ben Brooks in a while. Oh, that must mean because the feed is broken.
Right.
Oh, okay. Let me do something to change that and to fix that. And then I unsubscribe and resubscribe and they all come in and it continues to work for another week or two.
Weird. Well, maybe I'll just give you my feed, my member feed, because it works fine.
And yeah, I won't tell them. Well, but here's the deal. Are you using Google Reader?
I am. I use Google Reader and the Reader app and
right. Net, oh, so it's
Wire. I never have a problem with this feed though. So
wow.
So I'll just send you mine. Must just be special. Must be special because
it could be.
I'm a publisher now.
Special. Yes.
Exactly.
Very special. Yeah. See. So I just resubscribed and woo. Well, look. Why Mailbox won't fix your email? There it is.
Exactly.
See?
That's the
all
one.
Right, terrific. All right. See. And now it all works. And now I can catch up on what I've missed.
Reading you doing this sort of stuff again is making me miss what your site used to be. Because you kind of had a site that was a little bit more like patdryburr.com was kind of like this sort of site, right? You commented on tech news stuff.
Yes.
Like everybody else did, and then you kind of stopped doing that.
That's because everyone else started doing it.
Exactly. Well, now I miss it. I always missed it, but now I miss it even more. It's made me realize how much I missed it.
Well, maybe I'll do something. I've got the site back up. I took it down for a while. The blog is back up, like my own personal blog. And this actually has been encouraging. I forcing myself to do a little web surfing, remember back when you just used to surf the net and find links and that's kind of gone away in our, steady stream of links and social media crap.
Yeah. The internet comes to me now. I don't go to it.
Yeah. Exactly. And
there's a very different dynamic that happens there. And so yesterday I was just plugging in URLs to
random ones, just making
random
them up.
URLs. and seeing where I land, and it was fun, and a couple good posts came out of it. So, it's been a lot of fun doing this, and you, Mike, for you, I will start doing some more of it on my own site as well.
That's all I ask for.
Yeah,
even if it's just me that sees it.
Yeah,
like you just send me a spoof RSS feed.
I'm 99% certain that my only readers are you and my mom. So.
So that leads me to a question I've got to ask, which is. What's the deal? Why have you been why is it that you'll be on Twitter for about 5 minutes and then decide to delete the account, then decide to come back and under a whole other different account and your websites have all been pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. What's especially interesting to me is that you in particular have so much great things personally, just about you and the things that you are doing to share. It's not just that you are a designer who's interested in design and the web and things like that. It's not just that, you're doing the whole paleo thing. And it's not just that you've got great comedy skills and you're doing these comedic videos. It's not just that you're also a filmmaker.
Yeah.
It's not just that you're also a photographer and not just a average filmmaker, you're an excellent filmmaker.
Well, thank you.
You're an excellent photographer. I mean, you're probably one of the best photographers I know. I personally know.
Do you know me and
me?
Me and Mike.
George, there's George Quinteros, there's John from 50 Foot Shadows, there's the list goes on. CJ, there's I know lots of great photographers. And
so I'm very honored to even be considered. Thank you.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm a little frustrated with you, Pat. Seriously. Because if I was even half as talented, I would have 5 or 6 more sites than I do.
Right. So that's one problem.
That's a terrifying fault that you would have 5 more sites, Pat. I think the internet would have to just stop.
It would be his own internet.
The Pat-tonet.
That's the goal.
You would set up, you'd have a separate service provider for the Roan internet protocol, RIP. And you'd have your own, you'd have its own setup box, which is just, it's pure white in a perfect square.
And you have to put it on an empty desk in an empty room.
It has to be on an empty desk, and there's only one cable that comes out of it. And that leads right to the nowhere. That doesn't actually plug in anywhere. It's just there. And that's how you connect to the Roan internet protocol. And that's where you get all the great sites like you know,
like Pat's
Pwn Photography.
Yeah.
And very, .com. Gosh, dot Roan.
Yeah, dot Roan. No, so seriously.
Why can't I get my crap together? Is that what you're asking?
That's essentially what I am asking. Okay, in a nutshell. So, yeah, what's your problem, man?
Okay. Well, there's a couple things. One of which is back last summer, I think it was summertime, where I deleted Twitter and got rid of every, like, I had something like in the neighborhood of 1,200 or 1,300 followers. I had posted something like 19,000 tweets, very active, very much involved in that community. I had the blog that I was posting on almost every day. And then et cetera. But what I found was, I was just very tired of the, always feeling like I'm performing, like I'm on. What am I trying to say? I very much value, personality and authenticity in the things that I try to create. And in the things that others create, the things I look for are, you know, authenticity. Is this actually true to the person who's telling me this? And so I was feeling very much like that wasn't me anymore. I wasn't being true to who I was because I was going through some crappy, you know, what a situation or whatever. And yet, if you saw me online, everything was still hunky dory. I didn't know how to deal with that disconnect. And so I just shut it all down. I closed up my Twitter account. I privatized my Instagram, which is still actually privatized. I shut down my website. I ended up using Tumblr just to post some pictures and little bits and pieces here and there, but more or less shut everything down. And, you know, it was actually very refreshing because suddenly I was, you know, no longer in this constant, this sort of cycle where everyone is trying to get your attention and you're trying to get the attention of people who are also seeking the attention of others. And so it's this kind of ongoing attention seeking cycle. But then there was other things that I did miss. I did miss some of the true real people that, you know, I followed on Twitter or, you know, had struck up relationships with. And so I'm slowly trying to, you know, I joined Twitter again, but I only follow, you know, I think less than 50 people. I don't even know or care what the number is. Don't care how many people are following me. I'm trying to not let it take over so much of my life that it matters, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and also I think maybe by taking that approach, I don't know,
maybe it will allow you the freedom to feel like you can be a little bit more real. You can share some of your struggles and pains. I mean, I think that's, you know, certainly some of what I get out of your podcast is it's nice to kind of, you know, hear you dealing with some of this stuff in a very, you know, relatable and humorous way, right? Mm.
Yeah, the last thing I want is to sort of do it in a voyeuristic way where, mm-hmm. you know, people, you know, are being entertained because of the pain or struggle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not that I'm saying I'm always in this sort of, you know, melancholy, you know, downtrodden state. But I want it to be beneficial. You know, I want it to be constructive. And so... doing the podcast has freed me up because, you know, when I had 1,300 followers, I don't know that I would have been as comfortable doing it because, you know, I had my quote unquote personal brand and I had to make sure that everything was, you know, along the lines of my personal brand. And and it was just kind of, Pat Driver's this creative guy and he's got things figured out. And it's like, no, I'm not. I'm an artist. You know, it's like,
and that label alone should denote to people that we got issues,
right?
You know, our art is largely driven by our issues, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's, you know, this is not this is a very common thread amongst artists. You know, it's
for like, sure.
You know, and I would argue that the more artistically creative you are. That the reason that you are is because you have a lot to express. You have a lot of emotion to express. You need as many outlets to express it as possible and as many mediums and ways to express it as possible.
And the other part to that is as an artist, you allow yourself to dig deeper than others would into yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you allow yourself to ask questions that normal people just don't ask. And that can be scary. Or avoid,
Avoid
completely. Really scary. And sometimes that's just hard to do when you're in this always on, always need to be entertaining, you know, world that we live in. You know, I mean, I have a Facebook account and I've got only people that I know personally, only people whom I've met in person, like my family, close friends. You know, I don't let other, you know, sort of internet people that I've never met in real life join my Facebook thing because it's very personal to me. And so, and yet at the same time, I still post funny things or creative things, and treat them as though they're an audience rather than a group of friends. And I have to catch myself sometimes and be like, that's not what these people are interested in. They want to know, you know, like Pat just, you know, went on a date. They don't care that, you know, my clever wordplay about the latest, you know, iOS app that all the tech geeks are talking about, you know, and so.
Or poke jokes.
Or poke jokes, exactly.
Not poop jokes.
No. Well.
Those two.
Plenty of those.
So, well, I guess that brings me to why not have a protected Twitter account?
I thought about it. Yeah. I thought about that actually just the other day was the idea of doing that. That's kind of the weird, you know, enigma that is me is that I want that private, not private, but like personal sharing of, you know, what I'm dealing with and that could be good or bad, but I also very much do enjoy entertaining people and performing and doing stupid videos like doing a somersault in my backyard is I don't know how to separate that from, you know, talking about, you know, struggling with weight, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that differently. I don't know how to, you know, maybe I need to, you know, crack open a Moleskine and write the crap down that sucks and only post the good stuff. I don't know, but that seems shallow and dishonest. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with in our increasingly connected world. And it's one of those things where where, you know, of course, as we've discussed before on the show, these social networks, their business depends, the free ones especially, their business depends on us sharing as much as possible with as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of data there that can be mined, that can be shared, that can be aggregated, that can be, you know, sold to advertisers, you know, what have you. But in real life, our approach to privacy and access is highly nuanced and really, really ever changing. And you know what I mean? Totally. Like, you know, I would share just about anything with my wife, but there's some things I would never say to her face. Right.
Yeah.
You sure. know, I mean, yep. just, you know, it's not because I don't love her. I don't, you know, share everything. You know, she's not my best friend and all this other stuff. It's just yep. because, you know, I'm going to say, I don't want to tell her that sweater that she just bought, you know, and love so much. It's not the best, you know, maybe you should choose something different or, you know what I mean?
Or even serious issues, right? I mean, if you're having a serious issue with her. That you need outside perspective on. You're not, you know, you need to have someone else, obviously probably not your Twitter followers, but someone right. close, you know, a good yeah. friend who you can trust and can yeah. be the outlet for that discussion because yeah. you need that input before you can then take it to your wife. Right. And
word it in a way that she understands that she right. should really return that sweater. I hope she got the receipt. But I think the other part of that too is that, I can agree with you that venue is important as well. There are things that, you know, for instance, I would share on ADN that I won't put on Twitter. There's going to be things that I talk about here on the podcast that I'm not going to write about. Mm-hmm. There's going to be things I write about that I then talk about here on the podcast, and then I tweet something. There are things that start with a tweet, become a blog post, and then become an entire blog podcast, right? I mean, it really is on a case-by-case basis. I wish there was some sort of thing with every kind of little new tweet window that would allow you to say, well, and Google Plus does this to a certain extent, so kudos to them. Yeah, I want to share this with this group of people or that group of people or make this private only or me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for everything you do, allow you that kind of control.
Yep.
You know, but of course, you know, then you add a whole bunch of complexities that introduce a whole and a host of problems. As a designer, you know that whenever you add a feature, you're actually adding, you know, 10 steps of complexity that you think, oh, it's just a simple little feature. No, yeah. It's not that easy, right?
Nope.
So, I'm going to throw my two cents in there, if that's okay.
Of course.
I mean,
is that 2 pence, though? Is that, I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not sure what's the exchange rate on the.
Yeah.
It's probably like.
Well, it's about 4 pence.
Okay.
All right.
Give us your 4 pence, Mike.
No, it'd be one.
1 pence?
Oh, yes. You're right. I'm doing the math backwards. So, yeah. Yeah.
Give us your pence, Mike.
Are you asking me for my pants?
Remember, pants have a completely different meaning in England than they do in Canada, the U.S.
So, I made, like, a decision a while ago. Like, I'm very careful about what I put online. Like, I don't put personal sort of things there, you know, like I'm having a problem at home, I won't tweet about it. Mm-hmm. because I have people now that follow me that I, you know, that aren't just my friends that I've known for years, you know, I have people that listen to the shows and they want to hear me here, and they, you know, they don't know what they have. I guess these people don't have an expectation of the things that they want to see me tweet about. You know, I don't know if people do that. You know, they're like, well, I just want to hear him talking about podcasting, nothing more, or, you know, whatever, pens or whatever. But I guess that's the kind of, you know, it's those sort of things that people are coming to hear me about. So I talk about those things. I talk about other sort of inane things that happen in my life, but I try not to, I don't share every fault. I don't share things that are going to upset people, like my friends. You know, I don't, if I've got, you know, if me and Sammy have had an argument, I don't tweet about it. You right. never guess what she said to me. You know, I don't do that.
And, I mean, I wanted to,
but I don't. I mean, boy, do I know. And I don't swear as well. I mean, I am a human being that uses foul language, but I don't swear on the shows, and therefore don't swear in social networks.
You're no Terry Lucy.
Exactly. And you've heard me swear, Pat. I'm sure I swore.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard it, but yeah, I'm just saying. You know, if you were to read Terry's Twitter stream,
yeah, he is more. You know, he's one of these sorts of people that fair play to him, more power to him. That he tweets yeah. whatever he wants. He doesn't care about what people think. And I'm not saying that one way is the right way. This is just the way that I choose to do it. I have an aspiration to become a public figure of sorts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always take, this is with the same with our swearing policy on the network, I just take the lowest common denominator. You know, I can't, but people don't get upset at you for censoring curse words, but if you don't want to see them and they appear, then people can get upset about that.
Yeah.
What's interesting about what you just brought up there with the idea of not sharing the bad stuff or the crap or the personal stuff. Some of the best, at least this has been in my case, and I know it has been in others, some of the best things that I feel like I've done have come as a result of trying to work through actual pain, work through actual struggle. And so the one that jumps out to me is this blog post that I wrote about a year and a half ago, around the time when my mom was, or right at the time when my mom was supposed to be going for surgery to have a cancerous tumor removed. And I wrote this blog post called 12 PM, and it's short, it's simple, and it just kind of talks about a little bit of my relationship with her and what we were, you know, dealing with at the time. And, you know, it's certainly not my most read or most viewed blog post, even it doesn't even come close, but for me personally, it you know, that's the one post that I go back, or one of the posts that I go back to is that one.
And I'm sure, you know, that we're all a fan of cranking Merlin's piece, right?
Oh, exactly.
Extremely personal.
Exactly. And so there, you know, I on one hand, I totally understand the desire to sort of be above the, you know, above sort of this, you know, threshold or whatever that you set up that, you know, says these are the things that are okay to talk about. These are the things that aren't okay. And sort of, you know, live on the one side of that thing. Whereas I really just feel like for myself, I need to, you know, allow myself as an artist to experience and share what those experiences are, good or bad.
Yeah, which is it's not. I don't think that there is definitely not a right or wrong answer. It's just you as a human being,
right? Except that I'm better than you.
Comfortable in doing. Oh, well, yeah, right. Of course. With that bit, I mean, we all knew that bit anyway coming into this, but.
Just wanted to make sure it was clear.
Yeah, no, it's abundantly clear. I knew that, and I just hope that everybody else does.
Good.
Yeah. Well, we've probably gone way over.
one hour 13.
Wow.
Good walk, guys. Good walk.
Really good walk.
Good
hike. Congrats. Congrats. You've reached your goal.
I'm proud of you.
Good game, have everyone.
So, Pat, when people aren't eating donuts, where should they find you? Where should they find your work? And they should go there quickly before you decide to delete it.
Yeah. There's a time bomb on everything I do. PatDrybra.com, probably the best way to go. And then Twitter.com/PatDrybra, @PatDrybra, however you do that. I'm not on the alpha.net thing yet, and I don't plan to be. And it's too much, too many. too many choices.
Oh, you know, you'd rather spend that $36 on bacon. I get it.
Oh, at least, yeah, that's about a day's worth of bacon.
That's a lot of bacon.
And Patrick, people can find you. They can find you at minimalmac.com, patrickrone.com. You are Patrick Rone, PatrickRhone on Twitter and app.net.
Every available social network, yes.
And
I'm gonna pipe in here.
Okay.
Patrick, you started posting daily again on patrickrone.com, which makes me in itself makes me happy. But the quality of the writing has been awesome. So keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
I really
enjoy
it. That means
a lot to me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That means a whole lot to me. Thank you so much.
And I'm Mike, I-M-Y-K-E, on social networks as well. So Mr. Dryburgh, thank you for joining.
Mike, actually, I just want to pipe in here too.
Yes.
and just let you know that, you know, you've been tweeting every day over at the I-Mike Twitter account. And that alone makes me happy. But some of the stuff you've been writing has just been really great, and the quality is just really good, and I just want to say good job.
Thank you.
That means a lot. You post me. 2 or 3 podcasts a day, so
at least,
and that alone.
Are you going to do a sleep podcast where it's just you sleeping? I'd be into that.
I've looked into it. I've had one of those apps, you know, like the ones that you can get for sleep talking. Heard of these? Like, you can have apps that record you sleep talking.
No way.
Yeah.
So, like, when you start talking, it starts recording?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Because, you know,
find a link to one of those apps in the show notes. You got
Sleep Talk Recorder for iPhone, iPod Touch.
The fact that you know this off the top of your head being completely serious about this.
I just Googled it.
This could be a good show.
This could be an excellent show.
So there you go. I will test it out now. I will check it. Because who knows? My best work could be in my sleep, and I'm wasting all these hours. The 3 hours a night in which I actually sleep could be wasted.
Yeah, but what about snoring? Does it record snoring too? I would imagine it does.
I don't think it discriminates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not that intelligent.
And if you want an app that'll record you while you're sleepwalking, check out my app called Perch.
Oh, yes, nice. Perch.
Because it records based on your motion.
Yeah, Perch is... God, we didn't even unpack that. That's a whole nother show. That's... Seriously, because it's interesting. I see lots of applications for such a thing.
Yep.
I'm sure you can too, and that's why you guys made it.
Yep.
Some of which you didn't necessarily put forward as, oh, it would be good for this.
Yes. We did that intentionally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've got the big long list.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right. Well, people should check that out for sure, just to see what the heck we're talking about.
Cool.
Beyond that, I guess we'll chat later.
We will.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
No worries. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.